listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Well, as most of you know, some of you do, most of you, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to be a little transparent this morning. For years, pretty much all my life, I've enjoyed golfing. I've played golf recreationally. I've played many, many golf tournaments, won some, lost a lot. And I coached high school golf for 13 years. So I pretty much invested myself in that sport known as golf. The one thing you probably don't know about when it comes to golf and me, it's that I spend more time practicing than actually playing rounds of golf. I really like practicing. I enjoy putting, I enjoy chipping, I enjoy iron play, and I spend a fair amount of time on the driving range just practicing. Why? Because I want to get better at what I'm doing on the golf course itself. But as I get older, it's easy to adopt bad habits, which directly impacts my ability to hit quality golf shots. Like what? What are the bad habits? Bad posture, wrong ball placement, alignment. Sometimes I think I'm looking down the target line and I'm nowhere down the target line. I know I'm shop talking here this morning, but I think you get the point. When we adopt bad technique, the crazy part is we usually don't realize that we have bad technique. Sometimes we need help to recognize it, or sometimes the results point to the problem itself. And I found this is only the beginning of correcting bad habits. The next thing is a willingness to change. I've entitled this message this morning, Do You Want to Change? In golf, when you make a decision to change bad habits, the good sometimes seems weird because we've gotten so accustomed to doing the wrong thing for so long that change becomes real, real difficult. Am I talking to the right people? We are creatures of habit. We get stuck in our ways. Life doesn't allow us that luxury. And I'm here to tell you the Christian faith certainly doesn't allow us that as well. I've told you many times about church folk that I've pastored who've told me straight up they do not want to change. I'm not going to bore you with those stories this morning, but that's been a fact, not only once, but several times over. Why? Well, that could be for many reasons. But the bottom line to the whole idea of change is that it's very difficult. And the older we get and the more set we are in our ways, the more difficult change is for us. I want to say something about change in the church community. Change starts with number one, a transformation of our life. And I want to pound this truth home, if I can, this morning. The greatest change you will ever experience in this, your human life, is a transformation that only God can provide for you. When His Son Jesus impacts your life, and we've addressed it one way or another this morning, but when Jesus impacts your life, He doesn't only come to visit, He comes to transform it. You can't have Jesus kind of as a best friend without allowing Him to insert His whole value system into your life. You see, the Bible describes what this transformation looks like. Jesus Himself said, "You will be born again. You will have a new life. Old things will be set behind you, and you will embark on a new pathway." That transformation is called the Christian journey. If you've made that decision at some point in your life, you know what I'm talking about. If that decision hasn't yet been made, I'm here to encourage you to make that decision, because it's the most important decision that we make. And by the way, when we make that decision, we give our life to God. It's no longer our life to live. It's His life to direct us in. That's the first part of change, the transformation that God wants to bring to us. The next part is that we engage in a lifelong journey with the Holy Spirit being changed into the character of Christ. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is changing us from glory to glory. That simply means one step at a time, Jesus is at work to change us from where we've been to being like Him. Welcome to the journey. And it can get difficult. It can get very, very difficult. I want you to take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 7, and I want you to see Paul's struggle with this. Because, you know, here's what happens. When we are born again, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. However, can I say that we still wrestle with what is called the self or sin nature that we were born in? And this self or sin nature puts up a struggle against the things of God. And here's how Paul the Apostle expressed it. He said, "Wretched man," I'm talking about verse 24, "wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So, what's this verse actually saying to us this morning? Well, quite simply, it's declaring that left to ourselves in our original state, we are doomed to death. But thanks to Jesus, that's why we get excited about Jesus. But thanks be to Jesus, we can find and discover life. So I ask you again, do you want to change? You see, God has given each one of us a free will. We can stay at the place that we are indefinitely, but we can yield to the workings of Jesus in such a way that eternal fruit will and can result. This morning, maybe, just maybe, you might be tired of cycles of defeat and empty self-help programs. maybe, just maybe this morning, you are enslaved in a habit and feel the pain of failing and falling flat on your face after you vowed and you really, really meant it, that you'd never do that again. Maybe your marriage is in trouble this morning. Maybe there's a sin that keeps coming back to haunt you. So maybe you are deeply wounded. And those that you love around you, you're wounding them. And you want to stop that cycle. Maybe you're realizing that your life is turning out differently than you'd hoped, and you want to see that changed and the direction change before it's too late. Question again is, do you really want to change? And I want you to take to heart today that change is possible. It's not outside of your reach today. In fact, it is God's plan for your life. But I'm going to give you the base statement to this message. Change begins with admitting that you are the problem. Whether that means you need to trust Jesus with your life for transformation, or whether it means that you as a believer are blocking change in your life. You're withstanding the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The problem is really with us. How many remember that that old song that said, it's not my brother, it's not my sister standing in the need of prayer? How many remember that? But it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's the bottom line to that message. Once and for all, we've got to accept that our problems are not due to other people, not other church folk, not even this church, for that matter. Our problem is not with our parents. Our problem's not with our spouses or even our past. And before we can change, we must take full responsibility for who we are becoming. And that's so important. If we want our lives to go in the direction that God has designed them to go. I think it was last Sunday I told you that God has a purpose for you. Every person on the planet has been given a purpose by God. And like Paul, we must admit, wretched man that I am. Let me give you a little word study here this morning. The word wretched means distressed, miserable, exhausted from hard labor. You see, Paul felt so spent from trying to change himself that he came to a point of desperation. And this is where he admitted, in fact, God, I want to be different. Do you want to be different? He is saying, I don't shield myself from the darkness in my heart anymore, and I want to become the person you want me to be. So he's saying, I'm going to face up to who is really the problem, and that's me. And we can't change without recognizing our own wretchedness. Change begins with a genuine, humble, contrite admission. I am the problem. And only God can change hearts. I found that to be true. For years, I tried to change Sharon. I found I couldn't do that. That's not my job. Dave Miner sat me down, a man who mentored my life. Says, what are you doing? Says, it's not your job to change your wife. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to ask God to change your heart. And I didn't like hearing that from him. But I've come to realize the bottom line is that the problem is not external. It's not around me. My problem is internal. And if I want to see the progress and work of God in my own life, I've got to come to terms with Paul, with what Paul came to terms with, because only God can change hearts. So, after Paul's long description of his sinfulness and his inability to change himself, he simply says this, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Come on, church. You can put your hands together. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the difference in our life. So at this precise point, and some leaders really get frustrated with Paul. They say, Paul, can't you say more? They say, I'm with you, but I see my desperate condition. And say also, I'm so ready for an answer. And then there's that all you give me, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? In fact, it's so simple we almost miss it. And I want to give to you this three-part way to change in your life. Number one, but it starts with the fact, do you want to change? If the answer is yes, then we've got some place to go here together this morning. The first is God desires to change your heart. I think that's fundamental. So many people think they're okay. They're just okay. God loves me just as I am. Yeah, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to keep you that way. He loves you the way you are, but he says not that's not your permanent sentence. I love you so much, I want to change you. That's the heart of God. So first out of the gate, we've got to come to realize God desires to change our heart. That's why he put it in the Bible that we are being changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. Now, if God didn't want you to change, he needs to take that out of the Bible. But God wants you to change. That's the first thing that we have to come to terms with. Secondly, Jesus is our answer. We're the problem, we're the question. Jesus is the answer to our question. Appropriating him to our life in this Western world is a mixed bag. I've been doing a lot of research as to the church that is on the move in third world countries. And David addressed the issue of passion for Jesus I'll tell you, there's a passion for Jesus arising that is second to none. When 800 young people can gather in a room and wait in the presence of God, and many of you have gone and tapped into that, for 3 hours or a couple hours, 2 to 3 hours at length, and seek the presence of God, there is coming in the next few years such an awakening that it's going to stagger the minds of people. I just read this morning that Washington State, this beautiful state, Sharon and I took a drive out the North Cove and out in that part of our county last night. Beautiful water splashing against the beaches. But in this beautiful state of Washington, we are the most at the top of the list, least religious state in the Union. That's a staggering statistic. That simply means that the hunger for God in Washington State is at an all-time low. But I don't believe it's going to stay that way, because I believe God is resurrecting a people that are going to hunger and pursue Him. They're going to embrace Jesus as the answer to their life's need, and they're going to welcome His change into their lives. They're going to be just sick and tired of living life the way they've lived it, and there's got to be more. There's got to be more substance to this life than just existing. So God desires that our hearts change, and He has made provision for step one, and that is He's provided His Son to be the redeemer of our life and give us transformation. But He loves us so much, He doesn't leave us in our infant stage. He wants to grow us up. And so He submits us to a process of change. And that's where we come to number three. Our lives are being fueled through the work of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit is at work in our life to produce the change. That change will always mirror Jesus, because the work of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus preeminent, not only in our lives, but in the culture. This is God's way to bring change to our life. First, know that it is God's desire to change us. It's an amazing story. I've been reading the book of, well, actually the Old Testament. I finished the New Testament, and I decided I'm going to get headlong into the New Old Testament, which is largely a study about the Israelites, how they came into existence, and how God had His hand on them. Do you realize that the Israelites, the people of God, the Jews of the Old Testament, were put in place because it was God's design to bring through that people His ultimate plan of salvation and redemption? The Old Testament is huge. It's very important because it sets the stage for we are where we are today as a people. The Old Testament, over and over and over, introduces us to Jesus. And we see that Jesus comes on the scene, front and center. And this next 2 weekends, we get to celebrate the culmination of His life for what was God's design for you and I. So God's answer is Jesus, the Redeemer. And as we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit, He changes us into the person that He wants us to be, namely, like Jesus. Can I make this very, very clear? In our desperation, we need to come to Jesus. And here is where we ask Him to do what He can only do. Does God change, or does He still change people? Absolutely. By the way, I was at a pastor's prayer summit. Charlie Kopoman was there with him from this church. It was so exciting to hear stories of how men and women, not women, there were no women there, but men came to knowledge of Jesus. I remember, Charlie, I just revel in the fact that how God in His mercy just rescued some of these men. Most of them did not grow up in church homes, but God somehow found them and He turned their life around. And oh yes, He can do the same for you today and every day from now on. Okay, can I go back to my golf analogy, and then I'll wrap up. Here's the truth about golf. If you embrace change, it is quite possible, as a matter of fact, I will guarantee you that your golf scores are going to get worse before they get better. That's the truth. If you want to get better at golf, take a golf lesson and prepare for the fact that your scores are going to get a whole lot worse before they'll get better. And in the Christian life, it may seem that way as well. You yield to God, and all of a sudden you think all hell's breaking loose around me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Stay the course. If you stay the course, you need to trust the process, trust Jesus, and trust where He is leading you. And then you're going to begin to see evidence that God is in fact with you. Now, get real this morning. Ask yourself, what about you? What would you like to see changed in your life, in your world? And can you admit that you could very well be the problem? That's a hard pill to swallow. Because we will be tempted to blame the externals, other people, circumstances. But all that can change today. All that can change. But then it comes to the very fundamental question, do you want to change? Stand with me to your feet, please. I'm trying to tell you, church, Jesus got a better plan for you than you have for yourself. I'm trying to tell you that. You got to bury the old and embrace the new. That's called change. We don't like that because we get so stuck in our rut. Oh, by the way, can I give you another definition? A rut. I used to drive in a lot of ruts where I grew up. I centered my car in ruts. Do you know what ruts are? Ruts are nothing more than a grave with the ends knocked out. It's not a good place to be. How many of you will die in your rut and you go nowhere? Ruts aren't the solution here. I want you this morning, in a yielded frame of mind today, I want you to present yourself to Jesus. I don't know where you are on the spectrum. Maybe you need to believe him for a full transformation of your life. That's between you and God. I can't meddle in that one. You need to be transformed by the power of Jesus. And when you've made that decision, don't fight God, for goodness sakes. Embrace change, because he wants to change you into the character of Christ. And everything around you will change for the better, trust me. I've been doing this for living for Jesus for 60 years. I think it works. I think it works. So let's lift our hearts to the Lord, and I want you to pray a prayer with me and present yourself to Jesus today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is moving so freely in this room this morning. I thank you for the worship set that we wonderfully enjoyed your presence in, and that song, the declaration of how great you are. And truly, Lord, you are so great. Your name, Yahweh, our provider, you do all good things for us. And this morning, we want to come to a new place of trusting you with our life. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that needs to lean into the fact that you can transform them, I pray today that there will be an openness for that. And Lord, for anyone that's in this room that's stuck in a rut, that's a mundane life, it's not producing kingdom fruit, I'm asking, Lord, that you will deal with such a person. I pray in Jesus' name. So I want you all to pray with me here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want you to believe that Jesus will hear this prayer this morning. And I want you all to pray with me. Follow me as I say, Dear Lord Jesus, you are in this room today. Your Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I want to embrace you. I want to invite your transformation in my life. I want you to free me from my sins and my bondage. I want you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you into my life. I receive you as my Savior. And Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I invite change in my life. Change me from glory to glory into the image of Christ so I can represent you well in my family, in my community, and in the house of God. Lord, I want to serve you from this day forward with all of my being. I trust you with my life. Thank you for hearing my petition. I give you glory. Amen. Amen. Our altar team here has some packets that will help you, and we'll pray for you. If you are finding it difficult to take the next step, this prayer team will pray with you and for you. They're skilled in their prayer, and they will be here to cover your back. Okay? We're about to dismiss. Your children are waiting for you. Here's a couple things I need you to do before I let you go. If you would like to be baptized in water next Sunday, you need to sign up. Take one of the sheets. It'll help you to know what to do. Come next Sunday morning at 9:30. We will have a class, and I'll speak to the subject. 10:30, you need to get here pronto, because we're going to have a ton of people getting baptized. It's going to be a little while. It's going to take a while. It's going to be a different service. You're going to be excited. Bring somebody with you. But don't wait to next Sunday to get excited about the Passion Week. Take your Bible and start reading about what happened in the Jerusalem area with Jesus. Be a student. Become well-versed. And then on Easter Sunday, I want you to invite a boatload of people. I would love to see us scrambling around here to put up extra chairs. I'd like to work our ushers to the bone neck on that Sunday. I'd just love to see those guys scramble, wouldn't you? So bring a boatload of people on Easter Sunday, and we'll fill this place with celebration. But before you go, if you would like special prayer in regard to the prayer that I led you in today, I want you to come forward, and this team will pray with you. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.